and we are on the air for this Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. A lot of ones in this day. 1-27-21. Two. There's two. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble along with us. Well, you know, it's the last Wednesday in the month of January.
Yeah.
We're almost in February.
Time to get ready to go gardening. Yay!
Well, we got a while for that. Well, in Ohio, I think gardening is done in April.
Well, if you're like me, you've got it growing in the basement before, right around February. So I've got it growing down there now.
Well, you do?
Yeah, we've added spinach and lettuce to our salads because I have micro lettuce.
Well, let's get right down to etiquette here.
Okay.
Because this is where we left off last hour.
I wasn't real thrilled listening to you earlier thinking I'm coming into a crybaby, but that's all right.
Oh, you thought it was a crybaby? No, here's the thing. Now, which part of that did you feel was crybaby?
No, the business of taking the trash out.
Here's the trash thing.
People should not take other people's food or drink, though.
But let's get to the trash.
Okay.
Now, clearly I don't mind taking the trash out.
Obviously.
Because I've done it for a year and a half. But my problem with that is that there are, and I always think to add it up, going in and out of this office any possible week, there are bottom end at least 10 people going in and out in a 7-day period. Now, this trash does not need to be taken out more than once every 7 days. So, my contention with this is how do people just walk by it and never do it? It never occurs to them to do it.
Well, it's back in a corner.
No, I'm saying when you see the trash can in the studio filled up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why doesn't it occur to somebody to either take it out or ask somebody how to take it out?
Well, don't you see? Maybe one of the problems is I have no idea which trash you want me to take out. You sometimes have a black bag back here.
Well, here's
in the corner.
What we do. Here's because we have small trash cans.
Yeah,
we have two small trash cans.
Where's the second? Oh,
right there. We have one behind us here and one in the office. Now, what I normally do is I get one of the big jumbo hefty bags.
Do you think people really care about this?
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes. Because these are problems people have at home.
Yeah, okay.
These are problems. And I take the big jumbo hefty bag.
Yeah.
And when these little trash cans get full, I dump them into the bigger bag. And then when the big bag is full, because it's easier to carry a bag down there than these two trash cans.
Yeah.
When the bag is full, take the bag down and throw it in the dumpster.
Okay.
Very simple process.
Yeah.
Walk away, get in your car, and leave.
You've obviously done it well.
I've done it for a year and a half. The point is that nobody else, it apparently never occurs to anybody else to ever take it down.
Quite frankly, that was my problem. It really hadn't occurred to me. And you know, if you'd like me, I'll take it down anytime I notice it's full.
Well, right. Well, I'm just saying, for everybody, not just you, for the other 10 people, and not saying you have to do it, but if that big bag is full in there and you see it, grab it and throw it in. But you know, here's what's going to happen. I know this is what's people, the thing will be half full, and now because I've said this, they'll grab it and they won't wait for it to fill up, and they'll take it down and they'll throw it, and then we'll be going through trash bags like crazy.
And that's kind of when I noticed that it was full, the big black bag, I opened it up and it was full. But I wasn't quite sure how to get rid of it, so I spun it closed again, and at that point I should have dumped it, but I really didn't.
Well, it's, you know, everybody in this building I'm sure uses the same trash, and it's in the parking lot. It's not hard to find.
Okay,
so
now I know,
but wait for it to be full.
Yes,
because we don't want it. But I don't want I don't want you doing it every time either, because it's the same problem.
But you do take the little trash bags and put it in that big bag.
Right.
And that's easy enough to do. It's, three steps?
Right. Well, just because these trash cans are full doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
If there's no big bag over there, don't worry about it. Because carrying these down,
okay,
you know. But it's the fact that I know people have piled stuff up in these trash cans, these small ones.
I've seen them piled tall.
Well, you've seen it.
With those giant 1-liter bottles. Which are yours.
Two liter. Well, I pay for them. I don't know that they're mine, according to how we do things here.
Okay, right.
So the trash thing, so that would not annoy you. You wouldn't mind.
No.
Really?
I'd be glad to take it out.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying if you did it for a year and a half and it never occurred to anybody else to take it down.
If I thought it was my job, it wouldn't bother me. But yeah, it would annoy me if it was just happened to fall upon me. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not crybaby.
No, I was just pulling your chain.
But it's. But what do you think that is? That's what I'm trying to get at here. What is that about people that? You know, you clearly see that there's a problem, but not only do you not ask about the problem, you don't do anything about it.
That's a really good question, I'm guilty because I didn't ask what to do. I guess you just don't think about mundane things like that.
Well, you know,
I'm a star on radio, so I don't do that.
Well,
sort of thing.
You know what's funny though? People will come to you and they'll complain, and they'll say, you know, the trash was overflowing, or they'll say,
take it out.
Yeah, I think okay, take it out. How hard is that? Or ask me how to take it out, and I'll show you. You know, these are not.
I think I complained to you once.
Well, but it's just But I there's somebody in mind who I know complains. They will. Come in and they will complain about things wrong in the office. Okay,
fix them. That's
why,
easy.
Why do you have to tell me about them?
Yeah, that's an easy.
You know, it's not. You know, these are not very hard to deal with questions.
we don't really want to pay somebody $15 an hour to take it out twice.
You know, that's a whole nother issue. People are very unaware of. How should I say? It's not etiquette on this subject, but people are very unaware of how to. I guess they're unaware of their position in life. Like for example, like you go into a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't own the restaurant.
No,
and you also. Yes, you are paying for a meal, but there have probably been, if it's a decent restaurant, 150 other people in there paying for a meal that day as well. When you start acting like a fool because your meal is bad, and you're, well, I want to talk to the manager, I want to do this, whether or not you get a free meal out of it, whether or not you get it replaced, whatever happens, the guy who owns the business is still in charge.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, it seems like they are completely unaware of their position. You know, it's like in business, you always have to be aware of your position. You can't go in and
well, there are people that go to restaurants that think their position is lord and master.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you become very naive, and I guess that's the best term, nicest way to put it, to your position in
that's
life.
That's overly nice, yes.
Yeah, yeah, but you are willing, you know, it's about winning a battle to lose the war.
Do you ever complain about if your food's cold or anything?
You know, honestly, I can never remember complaining. I'm sure it's probably happened, but I
will mention it. You know, if it's really cold, I will mention, hey, could you throw this in the microwave? It's pretty cold. But one time in my life, I really lambasted a waitress, and I kick myself every time I think about it. I was...
drunk?
Yes, I was over
inebriated,
yes. And that's exactly... And I embarrassed my wife, and I embarrassed the couple that I was with. We were at a NASCAR thing, and I don't know. I was out of my skull. So I really apologize to that lady, but that was back in my 30s, so it was a long time ago.
Well, and by the way, if people have anything to say about this, give me a buzz, because we had a lot of good suggestions earlier on, and a lot of people who commented on society. It's a very societal thing all the way around.
Well, you can all...
740-383-9944.
You can always say to a waitress or a waiter, hey, could you put this back in the microwave? I mean, be nice about it. If it's really cold, and the one time I've done that, it was really cold. And they did put it in the microwave, and it was fine. So, you know, be nice to them. They're making, what, maybe $7 an hour and whatever you're willing to tip them. And if your food's cold, you're not going to tip them anything. So.
Well, so the question today is, you know, in a communal place, because nobody lives in the office. So when you're sharing an office communally,
yes.
What do you do when people don't take out the garbage? What do you do when people drink your pop and don't replace it continuously? What do you do when people whole I didn't even get to this one this morning, so I might as well bring it up now.
Sure. Do it.
Is somebody told me yesterday, and you've probably noticed this too, somebody chews the pins.
Ooh.
Have you noticed this?
No, I hadn't. I don't use the pens very often.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of pens around here that people have given us, and somebody chews the top of these pens, some of them. Some of them you can't chew, thank God.
Yeah.
But some people chew the top of these pens,
ooh,
and they put them back in the thing. Now, I'm not – just get rid of the cap is what you've chewed.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to throw the pen away.
But the cap keeps the ink moist so it doesn't dry out. And you,
but why would you chew a pen in a if you want to chew your pens at home,
yeah, go for it.
Go for it. But why would you chew a pen in a, dude, that's what I'm saying. Are people unaware? Is that what it is? Are they unaware that they're not taking out the garbage? Are they unaware that that's not their pop? Are they unaware that other people might use that pen?
I think with the pen, it is they're unaware. Because there are people that are habitually chew their pencil or their pen. And I think it's a habit. The pop, they know. But you know what? I've been in lots of different offices in my day. And it doesn't help to put your... I heard you say this before I came on. Should I put my name on it? Well, that doesn't
help. People can't read.
No, they don't pay any attention. If they're thirsty, they'll take it.
Well, we're going to... Again, if you have any comments or questions about this, give us a call. 740-383-9944. But we used to have an engineer. And again, I don't want to say anybody's name because, again, I know they were unaware. But they were an engineer, and this is what they would do.
Oh, by the microphone?
Well, I don't think they realized it, but they had a tick.
Yeah.
And they would have a pen in their hand, and if it had a clicker, they were you would hear it on the air. You can hear this if you're listening at home.
Yeah.
You would hear this
especially
during the
show.
Especially
if you get it close to the mic, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it could be over here.
Really?
You can hear me doing that.
Yeah, I guess.
And you would hear that during the entire broadcast, and I don't think they were aware at all that they were doing it.
No, it's a habitual thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tick.
Yeah, tick.
I call it a tick.
I thought a tick was
I think when you do something
bugs.
On a... You know, some people have... I had a conversation with a lady yesterday, she might be listening, about verbal tics that people have. I think people don't realize they're repeating themselves about the same thing over and over and over to the point to where the audience notices it.
A lot of people, and I've noticed it on the air, you know, professional announcers will repeat something twice. I think I do too occasionally. I'm sorry if it annoys people.
Well,
but
when you're on the air every day for hours and hours and hours, you are going to repeat stories and you are going to repeat situations. But
like Joe Biden does, he will say the same thing twice in a row for emphasis.
Right, but I guess what I'm talking more along the lines of is, you know, when you're doing it every week, and I'm going to say that's probably the time period for a broadcaster. If you're mentioning it every week, every week, every week, and it's the same thing and it never changes, that's probably a tick.
Well, you mention who's coming on the air every
but day. I'm saying more along the, like, a trait. I'm trying to think of a trait that people mention. They mention it, and again, it's not wrong to mention it in the situation, but they just mention it every week. And I'm trying to think of something like that. Like, I mention McDonald's a lot in the sodas, but it's always in a different... it's what happens that morning. So I'm okay with that. But it's... like, if I were telling you that I have brown hair, and I mention that every week, I think that's a verbal tick.
Okay.
Stay there, caller. We're going to break for exactly 1 minute in 10 seconds, but we want to hear from you. So stay on the line. 1 minute break. Glenn and I will be back with the caller, hopefully.
Scott, you know there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Oh, I just thought of one, a verbal tick.
Yeah.
When people would come on every week, and let's say if they told their religion. Now, if you tell me that once, I know. And not that you can't tell me at other times, if it's pertinent to the story, but if you're just saying it constantly, that's a verbal tick, I think. Because it never changes.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of if anybody I know that would do that sort of thing.
I tell people
that I'm an atheist or an agnostic, but...
Now, do you think that's a tick?
No, because I don't do it all the time. I only do it when it's in relationship to the story.
Right, but some people just do it as a presentation. But let's go to the call.
Okay.
Here we go. Go ahead, caller.
I'm still with you.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you were talking about verbal tics and repeating the same thing. When I was a kid in the eighth grade, I took Ohio history, which was actually my favorite subject, and the instructor was my favorite teacher of all time. However, he had this horrible habit of saying the same thing, at least, and I'm not kidding, a couple of dozen times every hour during the class.
Gosh.
He would be talking about something, he said, as far as that part's concerned, as far as that part's concerned.
Uh-huh.
And if he said it once, he said it at least two dozen times in a 50-minute class. And
yeah.
It used to drive us all crazy.
Well, you know, and I don't think that people, much like chewing pens and pushing the button on a pen. I don't think people know they're doing it.
No.
Oh no, no, I don't think he ever realized it. But it was built into his conversation, and he just did it naturally.
We used to have a professor that would say "per se" after just about every other thing.
Yeah.
We wrote it down. There were people that would keep track of how many times he said "per se."
Oh yeah, yeah. I think we had kids in the class who would keep track of it. You know, make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
But and unfortunately, I've heard other people do that over the years in conversation, and I've tried not to do that intentionally because I knew people did.
You know, one that's big now with a lot of people is literally.
Oh, yeah.
Literally did this.
Yeah.
It used to be like, and now it's literally.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think you're seeing it more in the younger generation with some of those keywords that they use. But
yeah, because they're cool.
The verbal tics, though, sometimes, or as I was telling Glenn there, it's informational. Like, I'm trying to think, somebody's religion, or what kind of car they have, or, you know, what baseball team is their favorite. You know, when it doesn't relate to what you're saying, and you're mentioning it every week, that's a verbal tic, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. Hey, on a different subject, did you happen to hear on the news this morning that for the first time since 1961, there are no candidates going into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Curt Schilling, I guess, was the closest. He was short 16 votes, and Roger Clemens was short like 54 votes, which kind of surprised me.
Hey, Fred, what do they do then for the ceremony?
There's no class. There's just no class.
Well,
so there won't be any ceremony.
I'll be darned.
Well, you know, with Hank Aaron just dying, now do you think that this is because baseball has waned in the last 20 years and that people just don't think that the accolades of the players today are that great?
Well, that's probably part of it. The other one that was in the top three was Barry Bonds. And, of course, there was a lot of controversy with Barry Bonds with the home run thing, with the steroids and the enhanced drugs. So I don't know. I think maybe that's got a lot to do with it.
I bet it does.
Although last season, not really having a full baseball season, you know, that kind of put the quietus on some of the interest, I think, in baseball. Hopefully it all comes back if we can have a full season this year.
You know what's interesting on this subject, and this is just something I have found, because anytime you talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame and you talk about Ohio, where we are, you talk about Pete Rose, because this has been an ongoing saga since the 1980s that he's not allowed to be on the ballot and can't be put in. during his life. Now, he can be put in when he's dead. He just can't be put in while he's alive. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about that is, now, if you talk to somebody in Ohio, they will tell you, by and large, that he should go in. But in the other 49 states, it's not so popular, and that's why they don't do it. And I think we get a skewed perspective on that in Ohio.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a regional thing. But the unfortunate part about it is, they've let people go into the Hall of Fame that had drug problems and were suspended for playing baseball because they were on drugs and got themselves rehabilitated. So what does that teach our young people, that it's okay to do drugs but not okay to bet on baseball?
You know what I think? You know what? For a long time, I was in Pete Rose's corner when it was just what you said, that he had gambled on baseball and, you know, he went to prison for some tax issues, and that's fine, and he could rehabilitate himself. But the problem with Pete Rose is, for me, is he just lied continuously. First he said, I didn't bet on baseball, and then he did. And then first he said, I didn't bet. And then we found out he did. Then he went and he said, I never bet on baseball. And then we found out he did. And then he said, well, I never bet on my team. But then we found out he did. And you know what? That, to me, that's three strikes and you're out, Pete. Sorry.
Well, I'm sure that soured a lot of people. And that brings to mind Art Schleister.
Who's in the right now.
Yeah, and look how many chances he had. You'd want to talk about three strikes and out. How about nine strikes and you're out, you know?
You know what's, I have the only Art Schleister story I have is the last time he was put away. You know, he had been to prison before, and then he did all these anti-gambling campaigns to keep the casinos out of Ohio. He did them with his mother. And then he was speaking at churches about the evils of gambling. And he was speaking at a church here in Marion, and I believe on Sunday morning, and I had him on. I was still at MRN at the time. I had him on my Saturday morning show. Art Schleister came on, and we had this great conversation about the evils of gambling and so on and so forth. And that was Saturday. He spoke at the church on Sunday, and that Friday he was indicted on the charge that put him in jail today. So that's my Art Schleister story.
Well, that's a good story, and that happened quite a bit. I mean, with him, it was a big turnaround. He'd be great for a while, and then all of a sudden he fell off the wagon, and, you know, here was another indictment coming down the pike. Yeah.
You know, I wonder if MRN still has that interview, because I taped everything over there. I wonder if they still have that, because
That would be a good one.
It's so ironic, because he is preaching to me about the evils of gambling, and 6 days later he was indicted. Yeah. It was something.
Well, I don't think he ever has to worry about getting in the College Football Hall of Fame.
I heard he's suffering from dementia now, which is horrible.
Yeah, I think I heard that same thing. Yeah, that's too bad.
That's a shame.
Well, he was kind of suffering from dementia back when he was denying he was doing it.
Maybe a touch. Well, Fred, thanks for calling.
Hey, real quickly.
Oh, Mike show, yes.
Is our favorite naturalist coming on your show tomorrow, Glenn?
I've got a story for you. He's quarantined, he will not be on tomorrow.
Oh, Jesus, too bad. I wanted to tell him. We were out at the trail here a couple of weeks ago with a friend, and we were walking the trail, and an eagle went right over.
Oh, I love it.
When we were there by Kellogg Lake.
I love
really
seeing
cool.
those eagles.
Yeah.
Now, was it with the white hair? I mean, was it a mature eagle? Oh,
yeah,
those are beautiful. Yeah,
it was absolutely gorgeous, and it literally flew right over our heads. We were on the other side of the lake, went right over our heads, and then swooped down and got something out of the lake to eat. So that was kind of cool.
You know, the only time I ever heard my father swear was when a seagull flew over his head and dropped one on top of his bald head.
Hey, have a good one. We'll talk to you.
Take care, Fred.
I do want to mention that Fred will, and I believe this is the right date, February 22nd on Mike Wilson's show, President's Day, to discuss George Washington.
Yeah,
which should be a great show. So that's Mondays at 5:10.
We had a great show when he was on with me last week. He talked about all the vice president or all the inaugural stuff.
I heard. Well, so now this is an interesting subject. Fred brought it up about the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, do you think Pete Rose should go in?
No.
Now, what's your reasoning? I gave you mine.
Well, pretty much along the same line. Initially, I thought he should, but
if it was just gambling.
Yeah, and he just pushed it too far.
Well, I don't know why he kept lying. What did he have to lose at that point?
I don't know. His son played baseball as well, I think for Miami. And I wasn't a real fan of his son either. So,
well, here's the thing. You know what? He will go in posthumously because it's a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
He'll be eligible right after he dies, and people will never get to see it. Well, that's the point. You know, that's what the ban was all about. But he will be in the Hall of Fame, and people 100 years from now will be able to say Pete Rose, and they'll know who he is, and da-da-da-da-da. But you know what? You just should have told the truth.
Yeah.
Listen, you bet on baseball, and you bet on your own team.
Yeah,
so that's it.
He was kind of a snot nose at times, and that's kind of those of us who were not Ohioans back when he was in his heyday, we didn't really care much about him, but his numbers deserve to be in.
And they will.
Yeah.
And they, oh, yeah, the first year he's gone, I think he should absolutely be on the ballot, and I imagine he will get in overwhelmingly did.
Yeah.
So there you go. But what do you think about now, there's something people might have an opinion on.
There are a lot of people that should be in that aren't in. If you got one, let us know.
Yeah, 740-383-9944. Who should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Because apparently nobody's going this year. And should Pete Rose be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Or we can go back to the original topic of why are people unaware of their tics and the things that they do. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And the other thing here is because Friday night I vacuumed the floors here. And
you're not going to let this go, are you?
Well, you know, I'm starting to feel like the cleaning person. And I don't mind doing
this
stuff.
You'd look nice in one of those little short skirts.
Wouldn't it be nice? And I don't mind doing this stuff from time to time, but my goodness, the people who are making these messes, are they completely unaware? I mean, I sit here every Wednesday across from you and Thursday. And before I leave, I pick up everything and throw it away before I leave.
I think I do, too.
Right. Yeah. So why are some people completely unaware of the messes they are making
for other people?
See, that's the problem. It's the other people who have to come in and pick up their and spend time. You know, I did not like Friday having to come in and spend time vacuuming up somebody else's garbage.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'm not a big vacuum fan. I don't mind doing a lot of housework, but vacuuming is not my favorite.
Well, there was just other things I could have been doing if that person either had not been so sloppy or had vacuumed it up themselves. If you want to be sloppy, then just get the vacuum out for 3 minutes and vacuum up the mess you made.
Yeah. Wait, were there crumbs on the floor?
Well, it was like a crumb and paper and stuff like that. It didn't take long, but it was, you know, annoying.
Now you work at a grocery store.
This is true.
If people walk down the aisleways of grocery stores, it never ceases to amaze me that something has fallen off the shelf, it's in the middle of the aisle, and people won't pick it up. I pick up anything I see laying on the floor, because first of all, I don't want people to trip over it and fall down and break your neck, but, you know, it was accidental, it got there, so why don't you just lean over, pick it up, and put it back on the shelf?
I don't know. Etiquette.
And they don't, though.
It's etiquette.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any ideas how to either fix these problems or why they happen, it's Armchair Psychology, 740-383-9944. But I don't think you can stop the chewing of the pens. I don't think
you can stop
the popping of the pen because I don't think they know they're doing it.
The way you could stop the popping of the pen is don't put any pens that are clickers.
But they'll carry them in.
Yeah, that's true. That's
okay. I just don't. It's weird because do you walk up and tell the person they have that tick? Because sometimes they get offended.
No, they'd get offended.
They say, "I don't know. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that."
They'd know they're doing it, but they would. They'd get offended. Hey, you can't hear that.
Now, why do you think people get offended by stuff like that?
Nobody likes to be told what to do.
But is that what you're doing? I think you're just saying
the way they'd see it.
You'd say, So if I walked up to you and I'd say, "Hey, Glenn, I don't know if you know you're doing it or not, but you're popping that pen, and when I listen, I can hear that during the broadcast."
Well, I will go back to about a year ago when you told me that you could hear me spraying my Lysol.
Right.
When you were still on the air, I didn't know anybody could hear that.
Here comes the break. One minute, we'll be back. Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble back on this kvetching hour here on WWGH Radio. And Glenn, you were talking about my suggestion to you about Lysol.
It was a very strong suggestion that I not spray the Lysol can because you could hear it on the air.
But you were unaware.
I was unaware.
Right.
But I have quit, and I don't do it until after we're off the air, right?
But you didn't take that offensive, did you?
Oh, yeah.
You were under the covers all weekend.
Because I didn't know I was doing
it. Right.
I didn't know you could hear it. I knew I was doing it, but I didn't. That doesn't bother me.
Right. Why would it bother you? If you are unaware that you're popping a pen, and I say to you, hey, you know, when you do that person's show, I can hear you popping that pen.
If you did it that way, I think most people would say, oh, I didn't know that.
That's
it. Now, I'm not sure that all people would stop it, because that's kind of a strong habit that people have. I used to have a teacher that would do that while she was talking to the class.
I'll tell you a funny tick.
Okay.
And I don't think the person, because I think it is a tick, so I don't even think they're aware they're doing it. But I know people have heard it here on the station. Okay. Let's say we're doing the show just like we are right now. Okay. We're on the air. The mics are on. Somebody will call in, and they'll be talking, and the person over there will want to say something, I think, in confidentiality to me. So they will whisper it. They're whispering into a mic.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
And when they do that, I always think, do you realize you just whispered into a live microphone? They can hear you.
Hey, don't tell anybody, Scott, but I was having relationships with that girl.
Well, it's usually somebody, you know what normally happens, and it's done all the time with this person, what normally happens is the caller will call in and they'll be making a point. They'll be saying, boy, I don't think taxes should be raised on this, da-da-da-da-da. And as they're talking, the person will lean into the mic and go, yeah, but what about that other brother? And you hear it. You hear the whole thing, and I've heard it on the repeats. And I do they not get that their mic is on? And why are they whispering that? You know, say it.
Yeah.
Say it. It pertains to the conversation.
I don't know. We're all silly at times.
Boy, that drives me. You know,
I try. Do I do that?
No. It's not you. It's not you.
No, I know. I knew you weren't pointing to me. But now sometimes I don't see you pot us up. And
I don't mind that. I like that.
Okay.
I like when I pot it up in the middle of a break.
Yeah. And there you catch me.
And there I catch you talking about something you didn't want to talk about. But no, that is so bizarre to me, because that is a tick that you really should not have, because
no.
The mic is in front of you.
And if you're a professional radio person, and most of us on this have been in radio for a long time, you should know better.
Well, first of all, when it comes to a microphone, even when I know they're off, I try not to say anything.
Yeah.
Because you can get caught.
Yeah. Yeah, and occasionally I will say something in the break that I shouldn't say. And then I'll think, oh, I shouldn't have said that, even though I knew it wasn't on the air. But
it's a bizarre thing that happens with this. One person I've had that happen with. So I don't know. Most people, if they want, what they'll do is they'll put their hand over the mic, and then they'll kind of back away that they. You know,
and that doesn't work totally either.
No, not really. But at least they are aware that the mic is in front of them.
Now, the most egregious problem I had with that is I was on the air. This was 100 years ago. This is back. My father was marching from Selma to Montgomery at the time, and I was pretty proud of that. But I was an engineer on a radio show down in Indianapolis, and the gentleman who was the announcer, now we were all students, so we thought we should give him credit, give him a break. He came on the air and he said the N-word And he said, they're marching from Selma to Montgomery. And I was waving at him like a crazy man. You can't say that. You can't say. And he said, said it again. And I couldn't get him to shut up. He was from the South, and that was kind of, I guess, something that his family had always called African Americans, but we got a pink slip from the FCC.
Well, you know, that's a big word.
Yeah.
But you know, the one that I don't understand is if you say something on the air and you even have to question it, you know, can you say that on the air? Don't. Don't. If in your mind you had to question it, even if it is okay, don't say it.
I've asked you a couple of times, is that okay to say on the air?
Isn't that weird?
I'm usually doing that out of joking.
Right, but isn't it weird? You've heard people do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
They'll say it, and then they'll go, can you say that on the air? Well, you just did.
Yes, you can, and you did.
You can, and you did.
Now, some places, back when this thing happened with the gentleman using the N-word, we didn't have a 7-second delay, and here we have about a 30-second delay, so we can get stuff off. But nowadays, they can pretty much stop, you know, they can beep it out.
But are people's vocabulary that limited?
Oh,
that
yeah.
You can't come up with a word? That if I even thought the word was questionable, I would just use another word.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you should. Yeah,
I mean,
unless you're
doing
it for effect.
We had this issue, and I did check on this, by the way, with the FCC. But you know, let's just put it this way: there is a word that some people take as a slur, and some people don't take as a slur. And I got after it happened. I did call the FCC, and they said, you can say it on the air. So, yes, you can, but it's still not some. I did not feel it was proper to say it on the air, and I took it out of the broadcast because I didn't think it was right. But to words like that, you can use other words. Yeah. I don't understand why we even have to put the toes on the line.
Well, then people don't want to be criticized for being politically correct. Some of that type of stuff is not political correctness. It's just correctness.
Right. Well, I don't understand why, you know, there are so many words to use.
Yeah.
And I can think of that word that's used as a slur. Well, the reason it's used as a slur because there is a proper term. Mm-hmm. Slurs don't come around because you have to have a prop. You can't have a slur if you don't have a proper word.
Yeah. True. Now, have you, I don't know if you watch television a lot, but my wife and I watch a lot of political television, and it's amazing how brilliant the young announcers are. They use words almost every day. We have to look up two or three words that they've used to describe something, and they're correctly using them. That's kind of crazy.
Well, I think language is good.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we have a very interesting, like caramel caramel. Have you been in on this?
Yeah, I
heard.
What
do you say?
Caramel. If it's Indiana, it's caramel,
right,
Indiana.
But what do you buy at the store? The popcorn that has stuff on it.
I think I call it caramel.
But it's not.
I know it's caramel.
No, it's caramel.
Okay, caramel.
Right, C-A-R-A-M-E-L.
Okay. But you were wrong on poinsettia, too.
No. Poinsettia. Poinsettia is the correct pronunciation of that word.
Siri told me it was poinsettia.
Well, now, what would Siri say about caramel?
Oh, we'll do it in the next break.
Caramel or caramel.
I'll get it lined
but,
up.
But, you know, it's even spelled that way on the jars. C-A-R-A-M-E-L.
C-A-R-M-A.
No.
No.
C-A-R-A-M-E-L.
Oh, okay. If it's spelled that way, that's probably the way it should be pronounced.
Well, I noticed because I got the caramel latte this morning, or frappe, and when I tried to write about it online, when I put C-A-R-M-E-L, it put it as a wrong word.
Oh, I'll be
wrong done. Spelling.
That's pretty good.
But C-A-R-A-M-E-L was the correct spelling.
Okay, I'm looking it up.
We're going to get it here. We got 6 minutes before the break, so we're going to have this whole caramel.
Yeah, I'll ask Siri to pronounce it for us.
What do you think, callers? And also, February.
And that's February.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, the whole caramel.
Saga. Saga.
Why don't we, I mean, we pronounce chocolate without pronouncing the O, chocolate.
Oh, I always pronounce the O. No, I don't. I don't.
No, but no. Where? What grammatical rule would we leave the A out?
I have no idea. But the O is also what grammatical rule would you leave the O out of? Chocolate.
Well, I guess the caller. But I guess the problem here is it is Carmel, Indiana. C A R M E L. So we know how Carmel is spelled.
It's actually Carmel, Indiana.
No, it's Carmel. See, I made that mistake, too.
I went to Butler University in Indianapolis, and we called it Carmel.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my cousin lived in Carmel.
I thought that was Clint Eastwood called it that. Isn't he from there?
No, Carmel, California. It's called Carmel, California.
That's right. Yeah.
Spelled exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going, because of Carmel, California, which is a famous place.
Very famous.
I was going to Carmel, Indiana, which is not a famous place, for an interview, and I stopped at a gas station, and I said, "Where's Carmel, Indiana?" And they said, "Carmel." So, you know, that's how Carmel is spelled. But if you look at your corn, if you look at your popcorn, if you look at your topping for your ice cream, if you look at any of that, it's C-A-R-A-M-E-L. They don't spell it C-A-R-M-E-L.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
But is caramel a word?
Yes, it, at least Siri says it is.
So what? Okay, so if we're calling caramel corn and caramel apples and caramel candy, if that's what we're saying, then what is caramel?
We're just saying it wrong.
We are saying it wrong.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, yeah. The English language is so backward sometimes.
But do
and
we?
I pity anyone trying to learn it.
But I pity the fool.
But do we go with? Do we go with the mispronunciation that is commonly used, or do we go with the correct pronunciation? Because we do that with February, too. It's not February, it's February, but 90% of the people say February, and I would say the same thing with caramel. It's caramel, but 90% of the people say caramel. So which one do you use?
Is it just us being lazy? And
yeah.
I mean, that's what it feels like.
Aunt and aunt. 90% of the people say aunt, but it's aunt.
Because there's a U in it.
Yeah, because there's a U in it.
Sounds weird.
It does sound weird.
Does aunt sound weird?
Yeah, to me it
does. Because you couldn't say auntie. You know, a lot of people call their aunts auntie. You wouldn't say auntie.
Well, all my family...
Not some people say that.
Yeah,
that's a room in your house, an ante room.
So my mother was from Boston, or outside of Boston, and all of my cousins on that side of the family that lived outside of Boston called my mother Aunt Betty.
Yeah.
And all of my cousins that lived in Indiana called her Aunt Betty.
And it's a Southern thing, too.
Is it?
In the South, they say aunt.
Hmm.
Yes, they do.
I think we're lazy. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Enjoy your...
I just had to put my two cents in.
Yeah, well, I thank you.
It says...
Have a good one, guys.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
All right. With a minute left to go, Glenn, what's the pronunciation?
All right, we'll go to the pronunciation, see what she has to say.
Caramel.
Caramel.
Caramel. She
Caramel.
Yeah, she actually kind of...
Give it to him again.
Drag the last three letters.
Caramel.
Caramel.
Caramel?
That's the way she pronounces it. Siri's not real smart. But it does say, you see, the word caramel is derived from an 18th century Spanish turned French word, caramello. So that's where it comes from. So
it is caramel.
Yeah.
Not right. Caramel.
Well, if you spell it with the A, yeah, it's caramel.
I don't know if we've solved anything, but the phone lines are open, by the way, and don't forget Progressive Life today from 12:15 to 1 p.m. with Glenn Coble, and then we also have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 till 7 p.m., but we've got another hour of this show coming up in 15 minutes. Stay tuned. You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. 107.1 FM. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI Weasel Boy. I've never asked that question before, by the way.